44. Luke 23, 44. Let's go there to the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 44. And it says in verse 44 of Luke 23, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And verse 46 says, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Amen. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love for us. It was your love that sent us your son to Calvary's cross. It was love that caused the blood to be shed for the salvation, for our salvation, Lord. And I pray, Father, help us as this season of the year to remember your agony, your suffering at Calvary's cross. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Luke chapter 23, verse 44. I mean, tonight we come into the last lesson, the last, this is the seventh sin of Jesus at Calvary's cross. So this is the end of this series tonight. And conclude with this, Father, in thy hands I commended my spirit. But if you look there at verse 44, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The mockery, the name calling that came from the people around that cross continually. They continue to mock our Lord. And when what God did, the Father, he turned off the light. Is enough mockery of my son. Even though the sins of the world fell on top of Jesus, God the Father still loved his son. Even though he had to judge him because of us, God the Father still loved his son. Amen. And he turned off the light. It was darkness on the land because it was a need for. So tonight we come to the last lesson on this, and the title is, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Like I said this morning, the position is, it is finished. The talus died. It is finished. God's work was completed, was done, was nothing else to be done. It was completed.
That's right.
Amen. I had a conversation with a family member this week. He said to me, the conversation went on about some subject I don't want to share, but said to me, why don't you sacrifice something this Lent, this time of the year? You don't sacrifice anything. I said, I don't need to sacrifice anything. Jesus did it all for me.
Amen.
I don't have to give up on chocolate or give up on my favorite coffee or my tea or don't eat this or don't eat that for the sake. They accomplished nothing. Jesus did it all for me.
Amen.
He suffered and died for my sin so I can receive forgiveness. I don't need to do those things to impress God. We don't go to heaven by trying to impress God with our deeds. Actually, the Bible says that our deeds, our goodness is nothing but filthy rags.
That's right.
Compared to the holiness of God. So the last words of many who are dying have been recorded throughout history. Often they reveal much about the mindset and condition of those who are with facing death. Some are at peace and others die struggling in torment. Some die saying things that I don't even dare mention to you. And some others die at peace with God, saying sweet words. These last words of Jesus reveal much to us about his person, his position, his power, and his provision. As we close out this series, looking forward to the Resurrection Sunday, next Sunday, Lord willing, unless he comes and takes us, I want to consider the last words that Jesus spoke before he died. Father, into thy hands I commended my spirit. So let's look at this from several points tonight. Number one, if you like to follow outlines, the position mentioned here, verse 46. It says, Father, into thy hands I commended my spirit. You see, there are all kinds of opinions to those who beheld Calvary's cross that day. For many who beheld the cross that day, is likely appeared to be a tragic end to come to that man named Jesus. To others, it was victory. He was crucified. They were like, yes. The high priests, the Sanhedrin, they didn't want to get rid of Jesus, and they did it, they think. It was too much for them. Some celebrated victory. Some were just curious. Some were crying because they loved Jesus. In the opinion of many people who witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus was that a carpenter from Nazareth who tried to do good was victimized by religion and executed by the Romans wrongly. They said an innocent man was crucified. We have to ask the question and wonder how many people on that dark day really believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. We wonder how many people who say, we said out loud, Hosanna, Hosanna, when Jesus walked in the city walls of Jerusalem, really believed that he was the promised Messiah, that he was the one that he said he was. Amen. Remember, he healed the sick. Remember, he raised the dead. Remember, he fed the poor. Multitudes follow him. He preached the gospel. Yep. He did everything that was prophesied that he would do.
Amen.
And then he walked in the city gates of it was promised, prophesied that he will do that.
Right.
And he walked sitting on the donkey. And they said, Hosanna. They put palm branches. That's why we call Palm Sunday. Palm branches on the floor and all on the ground and all that.
Right.
And a lot of that same people said, crucify him. Crucify him. So they were there saying Hosanna out of curiosity. They said Hosanna because he was a famous name or a famous person, probably. But that same people obviously did not believe that he was the Messiah. That he was the one that would die for their sins because they said crucify him. They knew exactly what crucifixion is. Folks, the trend continues today. There are so many people who look at the cross today without any concern at all about their spiritual condition before God.
That's right.
There was a man in my job this week that I just asked the question. I was just curious. I said, well, I wonder if we even be any work this weekend because it's Easter Sunday. You don't want to know what the profanities this man said right in my face. About how much he cared about Easter and about church and God and all that. And I looked at him, I mean, you could see my face. I was not happy for what I heard. I like my, your whole body just cringes. How could somebody talk in such a despicable way about the God who gave him life and sustains that person? But folks, the trend continues. Some still mock God. Some still spit in the face of God. Some will do even worse to him today than it did back then. Because human mind, the Bible says, is continually wicked.
Right.
Now, Jesus had been tried and condemned to death upon the cross. Most of those who followed him were not present that day for the fear of the Jews. But a few bold and courageous were there at the foot of the cross. That is a picture of Christianity today. Many live afraid of taking a stand by separating themselves from the world and live for Jesus. They will not do that. Some are afraid of telling others about Jesus or what Jesus has done for them. But there are others who are bold for God. They love Jesus and they don't care if they die doing that. Clearly, Jesus had spoken words of compassion, seeking forgiveness for those who had wronged him. He had promised the thief that he would enjoy paradise that very day.
Amen.
But they were words of anguish as well. Jesus had cried, my God, why thou hast forsaken me. For those who look on mocking, it may have appeared that Jesus has been abandoned and forced to die alone upon that cross. Even some of them said, if you are the Son of God, then just come out of that cross. A symbol of mockery. We have already discussed the anguish that Jesus endured while the sins of the world were placed upon him. They were suffering the wrath of God. He was suffering the wrath of God for humanity, and he bore the wrath alone. Now, God had turned his back on his Son. We know that. But Jesus was not forsaken, hopeless with any... But Jesus was not forsaken, hopeless of any future fellowship. Here we find that Jesus once again cried unto his Father, revealing his position and the relationship they continue to share. Father, he says, in thy hands I commend my spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. See, in here we can see the fellowship who Jesus knew, his heavenly Father. Amen. Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus knew what he was doing. He was in full control. And we come to the end. In the hands of the Father, he puts his spirit. You know, I've seen many people die through my life. I see many people in his last breaths. I've seen people who said all kinds of nonsense things. And I'm not going to share with you. But I heard some people say, I'm going home. I'm going home to be with my Jesus. Amen. Those who know him understand who he is.
That's right.
Those who know him. Folks, let me tell you this. Resurrection Sunday is for God's people.
Amen.
You follow that? Amen. If they come in, if the world comes in and they hear the gospel, great.
That's right.
But the celebration is ours. Mm-hmm. It's our celebration. Why? Because it's our King. He's our Master. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We're celebrating Him.
That's right.
So next Sunday, Lord willing, we used to do every Sunday, what are we going to do? We're going to celebrate Him. To God be the glory.
Amen.
That's what we're doing. If the world comes in, yeah, they're going to hear the gospel. But this is our celebration. The one who died for us rose from the dead.
That's right.
What a wonderful thing. So, number one, we see the position mentioned. Number two, the power mentioned in here. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Here we find a fundamental truth that cannot be overlooked or overemphasized in those words. Pilate and the Sanhedrin had cast their voice against Jesus. They joined forces together and crucified the promised Messiah. The Sanhedrin taught that the best thing to do is to quiet Jesus' voice and his followers by crucifying him. They went out of their way accusing him falsely just to get what they wanted. How many people in our day are guilty of the same sin? There are so many people in this world today. You go out of their way accusing others falsely to get ahead in life. They don't care who they hurt. It's just as long as they have what they want. Folks, our world is full of people like that. How many Christian people are falsely accused? Because one thing, they love Jesus. Can you imagine that? How many people through the ages have died for the cause of Christ? If you don't believe me, read the voice of the martyrs and you will see what's going on in our world. The sentence was declared and Jesus was crucified upon the cross. May I remind us that it was not Pilate or even the religious elite that forced Jesus to bear the cross. Jesus did not endure the suffering on the cross at the will of man. He suffered the torments and death of the cross because this was God's plan of redemption. Jesus died to provide our salvation. Blood must be shed, and Jesus willingly went there to shed his blood for us. All right, go to John chapter 7, chapter 10, verse 17. Look what Jesus says right there about his life. If we think that Jesus was a martyr, if Jesus died because of the Roman Empire, no, he was not. Look what it says in John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore, though my Father loved me because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment I receive of my Father. Let me tell you, folks, when Jesus hanging that cross for that 3 long hours, he was in full control of the events.
Amen.
He was not a victim. He was in full control. The crucifixion was not an execution, even though the Roman story was, because it was Jesus who voluntarily gave his life that we might live. No one had the power to take it away from him. He laid down his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was not a man who endured circumstances that were beyond his control. He was there upon the cross or with his choice that he made, but he was in full control of the events. You know, I said this morning, Satan told that he went the battle. He lost the battle. When he said, it is finished, the telestai, you know what? Satan said, I lost. Because he did. Satan told by Jesus going to the cross and being crucified and die that it was the end of it. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, in the Old Testament, they had their blood that they would bring to the Holy of Holies. And Jesus brought his precious blood to the Holy of Holies. That perfect Lamb of God. And we praise the Lord for his wanting to do that. Matthew 27:15 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. Here the words yield literally means to send away, to yield up, to permit or to allow. Jesus was not at the mercy of the cross, at the death, and the death that he would bring while he hung there. He died when it was time to die. He died when everything was completed. Because listen to folks, salvation had to be paid in full.
That's right.
And he needed to do everything in detail until was paid in full. Let me put it this way. I mentioned this morning a credit card. Let's say, for an example, that you pay your bill in full. Let's say your bill is $500.39. And you pay $500.30, you forgot the $9. Okay, you said, I pay my bill in full. You think you're going to get a bill for 9 cents?
Yep.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will pay a bill for the 9 cents. You know what? Because it's not paid in full.
That's right.
Well, Jesus, when he said, it is finished, it was paid in full. It was nothing else that needed to be paid for. It was done. It was complete.
Amen.
Right. And to this day, it's still done.
Yep.
There's nothing you and I need to do.
That's right.
To get to heaven, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
Amen.
So number one, we see the position mentioned. Number two, the power mentioned. Number three, the provision mentioned here. As Jesus commanded his spirit to go to God and yield up the ghost, he provided for our redemption. This was the way he had to be. There was no other option, no other choice, no other way. There was a plan of God for the redemption of mankind. And you could say, Pastor, why the cross? Why such a brutal death? You want to know why? This is just me thinking. When you put the God of life in the hands of sinful men, that's what mankind does. You follow that? Mankind put his rage on the Creator. Crucified him. The brutality of the whole thing, it shows the wickedness of the human heart. Did Pilate knew this man was innocent?
Yep.
Did the soldiers knew this man was innocent? Yep. Did the Sanhedrin knew this man was innocent? Yep. Most people in that scene knew that Jesus was an innocent man, but you know what? They crucified him. Folks, the cross is the central theme of the gospel. Jesus had to die so that we might live. Look what it says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost in all things are by the law purged with bloods, and without shedding of blood is no remission. There are churches today who do not believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover all sin. That's a sad thing. You know, if you go to a church like that, I tell you, walk away. Because that's wrong doctrine. Without the shedding of blood, blood must be shed in order for our sins to be forgiven. Some people say, oh, Jesus had to die. Oh, no, no, no. His blood had to be shed. He died literally, but his blood had to be shed. I am in no way making light of the cross of the suffering that Christ endured on my behalf. It was there that he paid a debt that I owe, but had no hope of ever paying. Apart from the cross, I will remain condemned and accountable to God from all my sins. So because of that, I will glory on the cross. I am thankful for the cross. You know, God says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And of course, if you read Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the hope, I forgot how the rest of the verse goes, but anyway. We live in a day where many want to remove the cross. There are many who want to remove the greatest symbol of Christianity from the face of the earth. So we took the cross out of public places. We took the cross out of our public schools. We took the cross out of the public arena. Where did it take us, folks? Where are we? What are our children are doing today? And we say, oh, this generation. No, 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 blame the previous one. We set the example, don't we? Folks, and they continue to press on because they're of their wicked hearts. They don't want to sing about the precious blood that was shed for them. They don't want preachers preaching about the suffering and death of our Lord upon the cross. They want a feel-good message. Come in, drop your money, go away, feeling good is all good. It's not all good. It's not all good. The Bible says sometimes we have to rebuke.
That's right.
Sometimes we have to exhort. Sometimes we have to encourage. It's all part of the gospel message. Folks, I'm not a theologian. I'm not. Far from that. And I know that Jesus died. Jesus not die upon the cross. Mankind will remain in their sins apart from God and eternity condemned. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus upon that cross.
Amen.
I say, sing me a song about Jesus and the blood that is shed. Preach to me about the redemption of Calvary. That is where our debt was. Look what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it died, it bring forth much fruit. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures.
Amen.
We should never be ashamed of preaching about the cross of Jesus. It is a symbol of shame, yes. But it was there that my Savior paid for my sins.
Amen.
Number four, we see the prayer mentioned right here. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having this thou, he gave up the ghost. In his final prayer to the Father, much is revealed about the Son, the God the Son here. As our Savior and Lord, we are to imitate His life, the life He lived. We will never abstain His holiness in this life, obtain His holiness in this life, I'm sorry. But we must strive to be more like Jesus every day. You know, one thing is to be prayerful, people. On top of that cross, Jesus didn't try to be vengeful to those who were making wrong of him or mocking him, or crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them. But in the end, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend. You see the relationship between him and the Father? Yeah. He's praying to the Father.
That's right.
You know, listen, folks, Prayer is a wonderful privilege that we have.
Amen.
When we're frustrated, when we are hurting, when pain is intense, when we are discouraged, when we are down, you know what? Pray. Amen. Pray to the Lord. Right. Give it to Him. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm give it to Him. Pray. Talk to Him. Listen, when Jesus was on top of that cross, He was suffering.
That's right.
Pain was intense beyond our human comprehension. Guess what? He is in connection with the Father. He didn't say, Father, I love you. And because I look where I am, I love you so much. And look where I am right here. So, no, no. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Amen.
You follow that? He saw the need of prayer, even in the most intense of his pain. Humanly speaking, you know what? His mind is in connection with the Father.
Amen.
Folks, I don't want to be on a cross and be crucified and try to experience that thing like many people in the Philippines try to do. I think it's a silly thing. They think somehow, somewhere they're going to experience that. Well, let's go to a pole and let me give you 40 lashes with the thing of nine tails that the Romans did. See if you like that. If you want to experience intense pain. So you see prayer mentioned here. Letter A. Jesus died praying to God the Father. In his final moment, his final moments prior to his death, Jesus spent them in prayer to his Father. He used those final precious moments as an opportunity to talk and commune with his Father.
Amen.
Hanging between heaven and earth, despised by the world, his Father turns back on him, and his mind is concentrated on his Father. Jesus, number one, life was marked by prayer. If we read the Gospels, we will notice that Jesus made prayer something very common in his daily life. He continually communed with the Heavenly Father through prayer. And this is seen through the Gospels. You can read about this through the Gospels. But let me tell you, in the end, in his last moments, he continued with what? Prayer. Well, actually, look what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. This was not a 5-minute prayer. This is all night in prayer to God. Luke 22:45, it says, and when he rose up from prayer and was coming to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. So, folks, Jesus' life was reflected by prayer. Do you want to know why? Jesus believed in the power of prayer. In his humanity, he found the need to stay close to the Heavenly Father. Folks, if Jesus, being God in the flesh, found the need to pray, to communicate with the Heavenly Father, how much you and I need prayer.
That's right. Amen.
Now, Christian, do you pray? Christian, how often do you pray? You know, some people only pray when life hurts. When the little toe hurts, when the little finger hurts, they pray for 5 minutes and they're done. No, prayer should be our communication with God. Some people say to me, Pastor, how do you pray? Talk to God. There's no magical thing about it. Talk to Him, just like you're talking to me. Have a conversation with God. I remember years ago, I don't see him for years. Ironically, he had the same last name I have, and we're not related. His last name was Barboza, and we're not related. But anyway, he said, you know, I had to do business with God, so I was in my backyard, and I was talking to God. He goes to me, you know how that goes. I said, oh, yes, bro, I know how that goes. So I was talking to God, and I was going on and on. I guess I got too excited, and I heard a voice next door. So my neighbor heard me praying. And I said, brother, what did you do? Oh, I continue. I continue, and I was not done. I said, praise the Lord. I said, I thought you quit. I said, no, I continue. He was excited about it. So Christian, how often do you access the throne of grace and talk to your Heavenly Father? Mm-hmm. Listen, please. Prayer should not be a rare thing in the life of a Christian. It should be something we do often throughout our day. We need Jesus in our lives continually. We need Jesus Listen, if the Lord pricks our heart to tell somebody about him, talk to him before you approach the person. Before you got to your job, talk to the Lord before you get there. As you do your job, talk to the Lord. Lord, guide my hands, my mind. Help me that I don't get hurt. Sing to him. Praise his name. I tell you what, I got those rolling eyes at me all the time. I mean, I find myself singing, somebody's looking at me. I was like, you do this because you're a pastor. No, it's just me. I mean, you have to work with me to know, you know. I mean, they look at me like, oh, you're getting louder and louder. So what do you mean? You don't realize you're singing, you're getting louder. Like, oh, really? You know, it's just, you know, it's a, listen, you can praise the Lord whatever you are. Number two, Jesus died praying. Jesus hanging at Calvary's cross displays his great belief in the power of prayer. Not only was he a man of prayer, he made prayer something common in his life on a regular basis. But even in his last minutes, after he said, it is finished, Jesus continued to pray, Father, in thy hands I commend thy spirit, my spirit. You know what, folks? He knew the Father. He had a relationship with him. Amen. His mind was focused on him. It was a young lady that was diagnosed with cancer, same time I was. And we used to go back and forth because we were in the same church together. She was much younger than me. She had a little boy. And I used to ask her, how you doing? And I used to say to her, I remember, are you afraid? And she said to me, no, I'm not afraid. My time is in his hands.
Amen.
That was her verse. My time is in his hands. She quote that thing all the time, quite a bit to me, and encouraged me. Because I needed to hear that too, because I was in the same boat that she was. Unfortunately, she went to heaven. Or fortunately, I would say, not unfortunately, fortunately, she went to heaven. And then she didn't die from cancer, she died from an infection. But she was battling the cancer. But she kept saying, my time is in his hands. And the day before she died, I don't know if her Facebook page still up somewhere, that statement was on her Facebook, my time is in his hands. Because somebody said she took a picture of her legs, an infection was spreading down. I'm not trying to be graphic here. And somebody said, oh, sweetheart, you, something around those lines. And she said, my time is in his hands. She died that morning. It is amazing, you know what, when we have that communication with the Lord, that fellowship with the Lord, even in the most dying moments, we are at peace with God. Jesus was suffering, yes. Jesus suffered tremendously, yes. But in that suffering, he was at peace with his Heavenly Father. Folks, hear me well. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. Be a woman, be a man, be a young man, be a young woman of prayer. And like the Lord Jesus, even the most difficult times of life, pray. Don't you come to the conclusion that you can fix the things yourself in your life. Humble yourself before the Lord and use prayer. Give it to him. Talk to him. Remember that your Heavenly Father wants to hear from you. You would have to agree with me that to be more, that we need, all of us need to be more diligent in prayer. Often we wait until the difficulty arises before we pray. We need to pray every day. In fact, we need to be in attitude of prayer always, always. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says. And Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right. Somebody gives you a lollipop. Did you pray for that? He said, Pastor, that's silly. That's not silly. Thank you, Lord, for this little bowl of sugar. In everything, right? In everything, in prayer and supplication. Lord, thank you. I know this is not good for me, but oh, it's so sweet and good. Thank you, Lord, for this thing. You know, you might think it's silver, but it's not. It's not. Okay, so I went to work yesterday, and this guy comes to me. I call him Filthy Adam because he's really filthy. Not filthy dirty, filthy in his mouth. And he comes to me, he goes, "You better eat that donut because I bought the donuts." Oh, Lord, help me to eat that donut so I can satisfy this guy right here. Lord, please help me to eat that. So I went, and I could see when I grabbed the donut, the smile so big. He goes, "I know you're going to like my donut." And I don't know. It's just silly stuff, isn't it? But everything in prayer and supplication. You know, I don't eat a lot of sugar, but I just did it. All right, Lord, I do that. Please help me to eat this donut. So let it be Jesus died trusting God the Father. Jesus' words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," are words of trust. Jesus didn't mention any other name to whom he was going to give his spirit. His trust was in his heavenly Father, and he said in his hands he was commending or was putting his spirit. No doubt that Jesus' crucifixion is a fall of agony and pain. No doubt that Jesus in his humanity suffered a great deal. You know, I said this morning, some folks think that Jesus just walked out of that cross. Oh, and he went to the tomb, he moved that tomb, and he walked away, and he, you know, did all kinds of things after that. Really? There's no medical doctor that actually would even agree with that. When they pissed his side and water and blood came out, you know what that means? He was dead. Literally, Jesus died upon that cross. Jesus endured the cross and as he suffered for the sin of mankind, but his prayer revealed his confidence and trust in his Father. What a powerful lesson for us to learn. God is good all the time, folks. And all the time, why? God is good. God is sovereign and in control in every aspect of our lives. We must trust him in the valleys. We must trust him in the mountaintops. Our circumstances may change, but God doesn't change.
Amen.
Jesus knew that, and all of us need to know that. What we need to know, hey, listen, folks, you might be healthy today and sick tomorrow. But our God did not take God by surprise. God knows. You might think you're full of health today and tomorrow you're very sick. You ever woke up sick and went to bed good? You know, it's the same God, and we pray the same way, "Lord, I'm sick today, I don't feel good. Can you help me, Lord?" Okay. The last time I was sick, I did all the good things. I'm praying. And you know what? You have to listen to the little small voice that comes in. "Go to the doctor." And I went to the doctor. I look at the multitude of people there, and I walk away. I didn't get any better. Because I was frustrated because the whole place was full of people. The next day, guess what? I went again to the doctor. And when I walked there, this doctor, this old man, had a big smile. And he looked, he just put those instruments on me. And he goes, "I'm going to make you feel better." That's what he said. "I'm going to make, you will not be my grandpa. I'm going to make you feel better. You have a sinus infection. I'm going to give you something. It's going to make you feel really good. And you have bronchitis. I'm going to make, and it did. You know what? The Lord puts those people in our lives, and we pray and ask him, and God, you know, provides that for us. Give an example. Okay. So this man fell off overboard in the ship. Ship kept going. And in the water, he began to say, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And everybody went a big log. And he kept, "Lord, save me." The log went by. Before you know it, came a big tree in the water. And he kept praying, "Lord, I'm your child. Save me. I don't want to die in the water." And before you know, a larger flat piece of wood came by. And eventually the man died. Well, this is just a story, okay? He said, "Lord, I prayed and you didn't listen to me." And Lord said, "Oh yes, child, I listened to you. I send you a log. I send you a tree. I send you a flat piece of wood. And you just didn't get to it. Salvation was there, but you refused to look at it." Prayer. Question. You know, if I pray, it's because I trust. Do we trust the Lord? Do we really trust God with the outcome of our prayers? You see, the sad reality of many Christians is that they don't trust anyone but themselves. They say they trust the Lord, but their actions betray them. Listen, folks, Jesus was born into this world trusting on God the Father. He lived in this world among us, always trusting God the Father. He went to Calvary trusting on God the Father. He died to redeem mankind, trusting God the Father. What about you? What about me? Does our life reflect that we trust the Lord? Look what it says in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, and I will maintain my own ways before him. We sing the song, simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trust in Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him, whatever befall. Trust in Jesus, that is all. Do we trust or are we just singing? Jesus trusts his Heavenly Father is an example for all that all of us need to hear. Father, in thy hands I command my spirit. Our powerful, trusting words. Trust the Lord when life is hard, folks. Trust the Lord in the midst of trials and troubles and difficulty. Trust the Lord when others do wrong to you. Trust the Lord when you don't know where you're going. Trust the Lord with your life. Trust the Lord with your children. Trust the Lord with every step you take. Now, if you are saved here today, here's one thing you need to do. Trust the Lord. Let us see Jesus die in submission to God the Father. Look what it says in Luke 22:42. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, my will, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus said, if there's any way I can avoid Calvary, I would do it. But not my will, your will, Lord. And you know, God the Father had a plan. Calvary, straight ahead. And you know what? He went straight ahead. You know, the Christian life is not a life of detours. It's a straight-ahead life to the finish line. Isn't that what it is? Some people like to take detours, shortcuts. You know what happened with shortcuts? People get hurt. You know what they say at work all the time? Don't take shortcuts. Don't take shortcuts because you will get hurt. And it happens. So isn't the Christian life no shortcuts? Submission. People don't want to hear about this word submission, but Jesus went to Calvary's cross, submission to God. He's submission to God the Father. How will do this, Lord? You know, also is a Christian life is a life of submission. Letter D, we see Jesus. Did I give you the yellow letters? Yeah, I did. Letter D. Jesus died honoring God the Father. Jesus fully submitted to God's will. There was no area left undone for one instant of disobedience. He honored God the Father. I conclude with this. Jesus, in his last statement, said these words, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. Jesus died in full assurance that his spirit was in the hands of God the Father. What about you? What about me today? Do we have full assurance in our own hearts and minds if our life ended right now that we're going to be with our Heavenly Father? Amen. Not because of religion affiliation, right. Not because our name is written in the church somewhere, not because of baptism, not because my mom and dad went to a specific church, no. I'm in full assurance that I will die and go to be with my Heavenly Father because I have confessed my sin, put my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone.
That's right.
For my salvation. Folks, we conclude this series. on the last statements, the last seven statements on Jesus on the cross. And of course, next week we will celebrate the great resurrection of our Savior. Remember what I said. This is our celebration. It's a Christian celebration. We do not celebrate Easter Bunny.
That's right.
Even though I don't mind those types of what do you call that? I can't remember the name right now. But anyway, I'm not against those things, but don't celebrate those things. We celebrate Jesus. That is the one that we celebrate. It is a Resurrection Sunday. Let's celebrate him this come Sunday. Let's sing and praise his name this coming Sunday. And if others come and visit with us, we'll be kind to them, but this is our celebration. We celebrate the one who rose from the dead.
That's right.
Then we worship to and pray to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your finished work at Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, for the great salvation that we have received. And Lord, there's still room for one more at the cross. Maybe that person will be here tonight who is online watching. May that person tonight open his heart to you as you knock on their door. Confess their sin before you and call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's a song of invitation tonight as we conclude our service. If you could stand, please. What's the number? 326. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, soul, are we weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. This light for a look at the Savior, in life all abounded and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, this is a special week that we're going through. Some even call a holy week. I don't call that. I call that a reflection week. Help us, Lord, as your children to reflect on what you have done for us this week, to meditate at Calvary and you shed blood. Help us to look back to what happened 24 years ago, and help us to look for and just to see what you have done to save our souls. Lord, help us, Lord, to tell someone about Jesus if they ask, or if you open that opportunity to us. Go with us, Lord. Keep us safe. Bring us again this Friday night at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.